My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Maybe don't get too comfortable with those lower gas prices. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Global demand for oil will reach a new record this year. That's according to the latest assessment from the International Energy Agency. Just a couple months ago, its forecast for global demand predicted no new records. So what changed? One word, China. Marketplace's Nova Safos here with more. Good morning, Nova.
Good morning, Sabri.
So China, as we know, scrapped its zero COVID policy. It's reopening to the world. The IEA is predicting that that's enough to push oil consumption to new heights.
So yes, and it doesn't take much to get us there, frankly, because we weren't that far off. A couple of months ago, the IEA's forecast said that 2023 will bring global oil demand growth of 1.6 million barrels per day. Now it is saying that demand will increase by 1.9 million barrels per day. A very small difference in the grand scheme of things, but it's enough, Sabri, to get us to a new record for global oil demand.
So what does this mean for oil prices and, by extension, what people will be paying for gas this year?
Right. I mean, it could go up, but it's really tricky to predict. And one of the reasons is that IEA is not expecting oil demand to really pick up until the second half of this year. And frankly, a lot can happen, right, between now and then. Also, while demand is growing slowly, that allows a buildup of inventories, which could help with supply down the line, and that could keep prices from going up too much. And finally, we don't know what's going to happen with Russia. Right now, the IEA says Russia is selling its oil at a huge discount, about half off the benchmark price. That's well below the $60 a barrel price cap that the U.S. and its allies have implemented. So say demand increases and oil prices rise, Sabri, that could make Russian oil even more attractive, keeping up supplies to countries such as China and India. And that could, again, affect prices.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Safos. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For a while, the Bank of Japan was one of the few major central banks in the world to avoid raising interest rates until last month when it gave in and raised a cap on long-term rates. They're still very low compared to elsewhere in the world, just 0.5%. And there's word today Japan is going to keep things that way, at least for now. It's not going to raise rates further, despite increasing inflation in that country. Here's the BBC's Mariko Oi.
It was, I have to say, one of the most highly anticipated BOJ meetings. And I'm usually the only geek who's like gets really excited about it. There was a lot of speculation about what they might do. Of course, they did absolutely nothing. The Japanese central bank governor, Haruhiko Kuroda, doesn't think that raising interest rates would really help, or rather, it would really hurt the Japanese economy.
That's Mariko Oi with our editorial partners at the BBC. Inflation in Japan is at the highest level in 40 years, although it's still way lower than what we're seeing in the U.S. For context, Japan's inflation rate in December was at 3.8% compared with the U.S.'s 6.5%. All right, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is about flat. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up around 0.1%, with the Dow future up 6 whole points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.480%. Microsoft is the latest tech juggernaut to announce another round of layoffs. It plans to cut thousands of engineering and human resources jobs, according to multiple reports. Microsoft employs 221,000 people worldwide, 122,000 in the U.S. Microsoft stock is down 0.2% in pre-market trading.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in 2016, for the first time since the 40s, the majority of people aged 18 to 34 were still living with their parents. But since then, some things have changed. More millennials are starting homes. The number of households headed by 25 to 34-year-olds has grown by 300,000 people per year from 2016 to 2021. It's according to a new analysis from Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies. That's compared to 45,000 per year in the first half of the 2010s. Marketplace's Matt Levin reports.
Darian Pham is a 26-year-old California homeowner, which these days is kind of like saying you're a 26-year-old CEO or astronaut or something. It's impressive, but Pham doesn't lead with it when he goes on dates.
Especially my age range or just my generation, like, I don't know, being a homeowner is kind of like a really hard thing to do. And I don't think any of us need a reminder of how hard it is.
Pham spent most of his adult life living with his parents in the pricey San Francisco Bay Area. It just didn't make financial sense to rent. After saving up a bit and securing a VA loan in fall 2020, he pounced on a 3-bed, 1-bath house in much cheaper Sacramento.
I think it's just like the logical step, right? Like, I love my parents, but it's time to kind of level up and move out.
You can only live in your parents' basement for so long before people decide they need their own space.
Jenny Schutz is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution.
And so the question was just, when are people going to feel financially comfortable that we start to see them move out and take up their own space?
She says early on in the pandemic, lots of young adults moved back in with their parents during lockdowns. But since then, they've increasingly struck out on their own. That's a trend that really began a few years before COVID, when the labor market started heating up.
So we had a very long period coming out of the Great Recession when young adults really just didn't have jobs that would support an independent lifestyle. As the economy got better, more of them were forming independent households and buying.
Ironically, that glut of young adults forming new households have sent home prices and apartment rents soaring in recent years. Gen Z, those born after 1997, are facing those same high housing costs millennials faced, but they've started their careers in a great labor market that now allows many jobs to be done remotely. Sociologist Jessica Hardy at Hunter College in New York says being untethered from an office could encourage Gen Z to stay with mom and dad longer, or it could make it easier to move out to cheaper housing markets.
Either cities or just towns that are idyllic in some way that aren't necessarily an economic draw.
Hardy says a lot will depend on whether we enter a severe recession soon. If so, that living in the basement trope could hit Gen Z too. Should make for some good TikToks, though. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.